Department of Justice must address tape suppression and cover up.
The mayor has made it very clear that he has my back. And if people peel away the onion on what's happening right now in the policing world, you're going to find a police department that's doing an exceptional job.
Back to more Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
See, protesters on Black Friday, the Reverend Jackson, who, by the way, got shouted down by a bunch of kids when he was speaking. So we got a changing of the guard there. And, of course, Superintendent McCarthy. Pat Brady joins me now. We're not talking politics today. We're talking the law. Give me your chops again legally.
As an assistant Cook County State's attorney and a federal prosecutor for, 11 years or so?
All right.
And then did investigations for big companies trying to get out of trouble.
You support the police. I support the police more than anybody, I think, that has a microphone in front of them. But there's a ton of questions that this police department has to answer for here and a ton of questions the city has to answer for. And I'm not interested in accusing anybody or creating a big conspiracy or following up on those theories, but they are creating their own until they actually answer these. And that includes Anita Alvarez. So I think what I want to do with you is once we get beyond the traffic is just run through some of these questions.
Yeah, a lot of questions. I think all three, a lot of questions need to be answered.
Right. And the Chicago Tribune, by the way, did a nice piece yesterday. The op-ed page, the editorial there laid out a lot of these questions. And then the other piece of this, of course, is the protesters and the protests that are scheduled to continue for 16 days. And we talked about this last hour. My hope is that the protesters move their efforts to City Hall and they move them in other places. Stopping commerce on Michigan Avenue, frankly, is not going to do anything other than hurt you. You'll get attention everywhere. So that's just a point of perspective. Quick retelling of the facts here. Laquan McDonald is shot and killed on the street in October of 2014. In April of 2014, the city agrees to pay Laquan McDonald's family $5 million. Frankly, it's a separate discussion, but the fact that his mother and sister and others got $5 million after the kid was in foster care since he was five is just a punctuation of tragedy on that entire kid's life. But that's not the point of the discussion. The point of the discussion are these unanswered questions, and Pat Brady joins me now. So why would it take 13 months to get a murder indictment when that video was out there?
That's a great unanswered question. The short answer is it shouldn't. I mean, the longest it should have taken is a month, and I understand that the state's attorney, Anita Alvarez, has said there are complicating factors when you're dealing with a police officer, which there are. But the reality is to put this investigation together that night, interview the witnesses, interview everybody on the scene, gather the evidence, go over and get the tapes, and then get the autopsy and the toxicology reports, go to the grand jury, you're ready to go. It should not take more than 2 or 3 weeks at the most, maybe a month, not 13. Now, again, her explanation was because of the Garrity case and some other things, complexities with indicting a Chicago or any police officer, it delayed it for this amount of time. And she also said, there's been an ongoing federal investigation, but I never heard her say that by charging this guy at this time or that time, it would interfere with the federal investigation. So a lot of unanswered questions. But the elephant in the room that probably a lot of people, including the Tribune, are discussing, the timing of this around the mayoral election and who actually made the decision to slow walk this or not charge this right away.
Yeah, and the autopsy that you mentioned, the autopsy on top of the video, which you have to assume that Anita Alvarez in her office saw.
She said she saw it after 2 weeks.
All right.
You're done right there with your investigation.
There's nothing else you need, right? No. Do you have to wait for internal affairs or any of the police department investigation?
Well, it separates out. It goes to the review board.
But that's basically, that's just professional courtesy, right? You don't legally have to
wait. The prosecutor. You can do what you need to do. And you can, however, you could have gotten it done much, much quicker. So is it, the question is, and I'm not going to accuse her of anything, but is it ineptitude or is it some kind of political cover-up to, you know, keep this from blowing up right prior to a mayoral election?
There was also this question of, there is a Burger King that was nearby where they have security cameras that supposedly had some shot of the scene of the shooting. And afterwards, the police went to see the video. I heard different reports about this, but the Burger King manager testified to a grand jury that they took the equipment, and when the video was returned, there was a Nixon gap. There was
86 minutes.
86 minutes of the video were gone. Now, Anita Alvarez said that they did forensic testing on it, and there was no apparent tampering. How is that possible?
Well, a couple things. First and foremost, that guy, the manager of the Burger King, said he went to the federal grand jury recently, along with two evidence technicians or evidence people.
And he's testifying under oath. Why would he want to get involved?
Well, because he was subpoenaed. The point is, the bigger point is, it appears to me by that the feds are actually looking at a broader than a civil rights case. I think they might be looking into the cover-up. I think you can discern that from him testifying and what he said when he was in there, including the tech guys from Burger King. The 86-minute gap in the tape is inexplicable, particularly given what the Burger King guy said. And another point that hasn't really been brought up, and I think I'm right on this, I would assume it violates evidentiary protocol for the police officers to go in there, review the tape, and the way they handle it. It should be, go get the tape, grab it, mark it, take it down to the evidence tech and image it, then look at it. So it's preserved by viewing it.
It's a separate department. You know, the cops on the street don't look at that, right?
Right. Also, it's a legal chain of custody issue. If you want to admit that at trial, you're going to have to prove the chain of custody. Now we've got allegedly a couple of police officers looking at this thing, and now there's allegations that 86 – or there is 86 minutes missing, but allegations that maybe something got erased.
The superintendent said the no audio on any of the tapes. By the way, there are five dash cam audio videos, and four of the five, the vehicles were parked in a way where they didn't have the same sort of shot of the scene of the murder. My word. But no audio on any of them. And Superintendent McCarthy said, well, it could be technical difficulties or more training. That's a hell of a coincidence.
I talked to a very high-ranking former assistant state's attorney who told me that is just flat-out bizarre. And remember how this case, he's been charged with murder. And one of the things he's going to try to establish in order to get himself acquitted is that he reasonably believed he could use deadly force. Those tapes could be very relevant to what he thought and what he saw, what he heard. I mean, it is like Adam 12 or a cop show. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on. You know, this guy's out stabbing people. This guy's hyped up on PCP, whatever. That might help him. But now we don't know what's on those tapes, and we don't know why there are no audio tapes, which is very bizarre, according to my
Yeah, and I'm not excusing Van Dyke. Not now, not later, none of it, and I wasn't there. The video does speak for itself. But the video that we have seen, thankfully, stops at the moment of the first shot. There is a point, and people who will sit in jury at this trial, where Laquan McDonald turns towards the officers. Now, I'm not saying that means shoot him and kill him, or certainly shoot him that many times. That's ridiculous. But that seems to be something that may be used in favor of Van Dyke in that he was so afraid that this kid with this knife was turning towards him that he thought he had to take him out.
Sure, and that'll be his case. Without lawful justification is what he's going to, or with lawful justification is what he's going to have to establish, and that is relevant. But
that's not lunging. And the Pat Camden story that was placed out there, and this goes to Pat Camden's credibility as well. Does Pat Camden come to these sites and he is told whatever the cops tell him, and then he just repeats that? Is this now how most of the television news in particular that you see is disseminated from the police department? That's a fair question.
Well, that raises another big issue. Somebody's lying. Somebody's lying about the lunging. If somebody is lying. I'm not saying it's Cameron. I'm not saying it's the police, but somebody is lying. That's why it raises all these questions I think need to be further reviewed.
But you know, when we interview him, because he's normally, you know, the first go-to person to get a soundbite from, if you will, he's always out there, and he has, you know, his standard line. The officer feared for his life, the suspect lunged toward him, you know, so that's not out of the ordinary for him to give his standard line.
Right, but then what happens is, which I think was Pat's point just now, is some officer had to tell Pat Camden that story.
Mm-hmm.
The officer feared for his life and the kid lunged at him.
Right.
So somebody's lying.
Well, you know, if you do watch the initial television reports on this, you just think, oh boy, this is another hyped up kid with a knife and this is completely justified shooting. It was so that we bought the company line at first.
No, there is, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding of basic police work is there's a lot of paperwork. And a lot of paperwork means when an officer discharges his weapon, there's going to be a lot of paperwork that needs to be filed as to why it happened, what the results were, what the circumstances were, and there's a whole process that goes with that. In addition to that, there's a process that goes with the people that went to Burger King, and secondarily, shooing away witnesses without getting anybody's contact information, which many witnesses say happened.
Take that with a grain of salt.
Oh, that doesn't mean much?
In my experience, take that with a grain of salt. It's like a CTA bus. Everybody jumps on after the accident.
Okay, that's a lesser deal.
I heard that, and I'm like, I'm not sure about that. But it still raises it. It needs to be looked into.
But all the police officers on the scene, by way of the paperwork point, need to be able to account for their actions that night.
Sure.
Not just the shooter. So everybody needs to account for their actions, which means all of their stories have to match. That's an easy thing to do if everybody's telling the truth.
Right, and very difficult to do if everybody's lying. That's why if everybody – that's but the, all of that being said, the tape blows it all away. The videotape blows it all away. And why was this thing held for so long? Why was this case settled for $5 million the week after the election with nobody reviewing the tape? Why was the tape ordered then to be sealed?
Yeah, well, let's go to that piece for a second. So I'm not the first to bring this up, and I won't be the last. The mayor's reelection was this past April. Yes. And here's a little bit of politics involved with this. The mayor looked like he had the election wrapped up. However, as is always the case in Chicago, with a population of a third that's black, a third Hispanic, a third that's white, you need the black vote. Is it impossible to think that if this video were released, that the mayor could lose the black vote and therefore Chuy Garcia could end up winning and therefore that would lead to this alleged conspiracy that, again, I'm not willing to throw out, but that's the discussion that's going on.
Sure. I mean, that's the logical conclusion that everybody has made. I just think it all needs to be investigated. That would be...
That's how you get the answers to the questions. Do the investigation. And by the way, turn it over to an independent source.
Exactly. That would be a conspiracy that would be pretty tough to pull off. But... there certainly are a lot of indicators or questions that need to be answered.
And if I'm the mayor, who it doesn't take a lot to offend the mayor. If I'm the mayor, I would never be more offended than to have all of this talk out there right now, the argument we just laid out that's been percolating for a week now. And I would do everything I can to shut that down.
Well, he didn't help himself at the press conference or thereafter saying that I never saw the tape.
Yeah, how's that? How
even though
that
they settle
possible?
It for $5 million, it just doesn't make any sense. And the more you
A mayor that has such a control over the city.
And control over the news cycle.
Right. The U.S. attorney investigation that you mentioned, how does that play out?
Well, there's
typically,
there's an ongoing federal investigation. They typically, in these kind of cases, they don't investigate murder. They investigate civil rights violations. Remember back in the 90s when the cops that were beating up Rodney King in Los Angeles, they lost that case at the state level, and the feds came in and filed a civil rights action. That's what I would assume the feds are looking at. But given what the Burger King manager said, they may be looking at a broader case. We don't know. The feds are always very tight-lipped. Zach Farden is a guy of impeccable intellect and integrity. I have full faith in what he's doing. But these other questions, a lot of people are clamoring, we want to know now. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I don't know where our attorney general is, but you would think that the attorney general of the state of Illinois would have an interest in finding out what happened here.
Yeah, the attorney general's role in this. Does the attorney general and the state's attorney operate separately or in unison?
They're separate. They're separate.
But they should be willing to work together.
Yeah,
the attorney general, the biggest, the most, the highest law person, law level, whatever the term appropriately should be in the state, certainly can come in and not Bigfoot it, but come in and make a point here.
Well, she could do an independent investigation versus hiring someone, spend a bunch of money to bring somebody else in. I don't even know where the statutory authority is to do that. Some people are saying Loretta Lynch. Well, Zach Farden is Loretta Lynch, the attorney general. He's doing a federal investigation. If you want an independent investigation, I'm not sure exactly how it would look, but the facts certainly call for it.
Well, see, that brings up an interesting point because the Justice Department ended up going into Missouri and into St. Louis in particular and Ferguson. Is there a chance that the Justice Department would be asked to come and look at the Chicago Police Department?
You never know. I mean, Eric Holder himself actually went, the attorney general at the time, actually went to Missouri, maybe. But I would guess that they feel pretty confident in a guy like Zach Farden that he's actually going to get to the federal interest. And remember, murder cases, police misconduct cases that are turned into murder are typically local cases, the state's attorney or the DA, right, whatever you want to call it. The feds have different jurisdiction, kind of a different mandate. But in this case, obviously, they're involved.
And I'm working through these questions. One that absolutely has to be answered going forward is the lack of discipline in regards to the volume of complaints that come down against the Chicago Police Department. Chicago Tribune and other sources have reported similar numbers. Between 2011 and 2015, 28,500 citizen complaints against Chicago police officers. 97% resulted in no discipline whatsoever. And Van Dyke, who is now sitting in jail for the murder of this kid, had 18 complaints brought against him, was not disciplined in any of them. Now, you have been around police work for a long time. I wouldn't surprise me if the majority of complaints were no discipline. But 97%? Come on. I mean, that math doesn't work.
I'm very pro-police, and I believe 99.9% of the police are actually doing a good job, and I believe there are a lot of goofballs
totally
who like
agree
to make these complaints. I don't know the difference in a percentage or two, but in this case, clearly this guy fell through the cracks. And I did read in the review board, you can't consider the police board that does these kind of reviews, you can't consider previous bad conduct in making your...
in other words, you could have 75 in a row, but you can't look at those 75. You can only judge the latest one.
Now, that board catches a lot of grief, but I looked at the composition of it. I mean, there's some people on there that aren't typically law and order types. A lot of former public defenders, appellate defenders, professor types. So it strikes me as unusual. Those types of that kind of ideology would be trying to help the police out, but there's certainly been a lot of complaints about the board.
And again, just common sense tells you that's not even possible.
Common sense and the whole thing, if you look at the length of time it took this, the Burger King thing, the inconsistent statements, the settlement, all this stuff adds up to something that really needs to be looked at further and not just what we got last week, which when I watched Anita's press conference, I'm like, you're kidding me. Because of United States versus Garrity, you didn't charge this guy for 13 months? Doesn't make any sense.
So you have three major departments that affect your life every day, whether you live or work in Chicago or Cook County or the state of Illinois. And that is the state's attorney, the mayor, and the superintendent. And the superintendent said, if you look beyond and peel back the onion, I think were his words, this police department's doing a great job. Yeah, the vast majority of the police department's doing a great job. But you got to own the fact that this was not one rogue cop. This appears to be, from all logical viewpoints, a monumental screw-up that needs to be addressed on every level.
Sure, but let's take it to the next step, too. I mean, they fought tooth and nail to keep the city, fought tooth and nail to keep this video from anybody ever seeing it.
Right.
And had this muckraker guy, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, not filed these FOIA requests, nobody would have seen it because they were going to seal it up after they settled.
Jamie Calvin and Brandon Smith, and that goes back to the $5 million question. So those are the questions, and I don't think any of them are unfair, and I think those are the questions all of us deserve to get answers to. So as we go forward, we'll continue to push for that, as will others in town. But thanks for the legal perspective on it.
Anytime. Thanks.
All right, man.